This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. And today, Ben and I are talking about an article he wrote about Alderman Bob Fioretti that appeared in the March 13th, 2008 edition of The Reader. The article is titled An Independent Streak, and Ben's here with me today to tell the rest of the story. Ben, we've talked before about that the mayor's got a pretty good track record of either undermining people who oppose him or getting them to buy into the club. So what do you think the future holds for Fioretti in that regard?
Fioretti has shown an inclination to do battle with the mayor. It's an interesting thing. Fioretti and Brendan Riley from the 42nd Ward represent our feeble hope for a little independence. Their constituents are relatively well off and have a strong sense of entitlement, and they're probably not going to take kindly to Mayor Daley dictating what their aldermen do. Historically, the independents in the city council has come from the wealthier districts, the 43rd Ward with Marty Oberman, the 44th Ward with Dick Simpson. These are Lakeview and Lincoln Park area wards. So, you know, maybe there's hope that an alderman from the Gold Coast or the South Loop, where there's a lot of money and a strong sense of entitlement, and where the city feels pressed to keep services coming for no other reason than to satisfy the tourists who come in that area, one of those aldermen can be a representative of independence and reform.
So you feel because of a strong sense of entitlement that people who live in wealthier communities, it makes it more likely that they'll be on the forefront of bucking edicts from the mayor's office.
One of the things that's so peculiar about Chicagoans is there's a fear of their government. There's a fear that if you put a sign up for a candidate running against the alderman, you'll lose essential city services or you'll be visited by a building inspector. So you don't stick your neck out. You just go along and you tolerate what you get. So if you get your garbage picked up and your snow removed, then you're a happy camper and you get to watch the bears and they leave you alone. So there's this fear that if you take any kind of confrontational stance against the mayor, you'll be punished. I've noticed that in these wealthier lakefront downtown wards, there's not that fear of reprisal, or it's not as strong. There's a sense of, no, I pay my taxes. I'm entitled to these services, and I demand these services. I won't even call the alderman. I'll just call downtown. And, you know, they get the services. So I think it's a fallacy, this notion that if you speak out, they're suddenly going to deny you a garbage can.
Your term entitlement isn't what a lot of people might think of when they think of entitlement. When you say entitlement, you mean that people appreciate that they pay taxes, and as citizens, they should get the services that they are entitled to as taxpayers.
Yeah, no, I'm not suggesting, use the word entitlement, that there's something wrong. I wish more citizens had a sense of entitlement. Entitlement is like liberal. It's been spun to have a negative connotation very successfully by politicians who have their own negative agenda, in my humble opinion.
Let's explore this idea of citizen input into what they should be getting from their government in talking about ward boundaries. For example, if we take a look at Fioretti's second ward, which on a map looks, as you said in your article, like a dog chewed on it.
Yeah.
It looks kind of straight. I've got a picture of it here.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at it. It's kind of like a Rorschach test, right?
Yeah.
What does that resemble to you other than something that a dog...
A pistol.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a pistol with the barrel facing to the left.
Yeah. Yeah. That baby was concocted to protect the incumbency of the alderman defeated by Fioretti. Her name is Madeline Hathcock.
Just for the benefit of people listening, they can't see this map. Even though it's shaped like a pistol, it's got really irregular lines, like a lot of ward boundaries. There's kind of two blobs, right? The hand grip part of the pistol and the barrel part of the pistol is two blobs that are connected by this little corridor here that's essentially the Eisenhower Expressway, that two-block-wide neck that connects these two parts of the ward, as opposed to something like zip code boundaries. You know, there are 60 zip codes in Chicago. They're all nice, straight, regular lines. You touched on why this stuff happens. Like every 10 years, the statutory reason ward boundaries changes is because the city has a law that every 10 years they have to assess the ward boundaries to make equivalent populations in the wards.
Every 10 years, all districts, congressional, legislative, for state, must be adjusted so that each district has roughly the same number of people. Otherwise, one district would have more representation than another. If you have a ward in which there's only 20,000 people living and a ward in which there's 80,000 people living, then the ward with just 20,000 would have more representation since they're each assigned an alderman.
In a city like or any other city that has wards, they are compelled by federal statute to do this kind of redistricting?
Yeah, it's federal law. It's the Constitution. It's one man, one vote. They're constitutionally obligated to make sure that there's roughly the same number of people in each ward. Now, it doesn't have to be the same number of voters. That would be nearly impossible to do.
How does this enshrined in law for it actually to take place? Where does the stick come in that it's got to get done?
The concept of one man, one vote is in the Constitution.
I get that.
Okay. In terms of how it plays out locally in Chicago, the reason we do it is because of lawsuits that have been filed down through the years, mainly by black civil rights groups who were in the 70s quite rightfully saw that the black population was contained in such a way as to minimize its political power. If you very carefully divide up the city so that a huge clump of black people are thrust into a few wards, and then other black communities are cut up, sliced up, so they're relatively powerless, and then attached to neighboring white areas, then you could make sure that white politicians keep getting reelected even as the city's percentage of white people falls. And so that's what the old man Daley, that's what he and his map makers were doing in the 60s and the 70s. And so civil rights groups began filing civil rights lawsuits challenging this practice, calling for fair redistricting. So pretty much this is all about protecting incumbents. And so each incumbent has his or her own reason for wanting this or that precinct in his ward. For instance, when you look at the zigs and the zags of the second ward, and as you rightfully point out, there's chunks. Instead of being anything resembling a rectangle or a square, there you have like little, like a jigsaw puzzle pieces. If you wanted to understand why that little zig and zag went that way, you would have to question the individual alderman. You'd have to look at the block. And sometimes it's something like, well, the alderman shoved a zoning change down the throats of the people in that block. They despise him. He doesn't want anything to do with them because he knows they'll all vote against him in the next election. So he'll give that precinct to another alderman. And then
put it in a different ward.
Put it in a different ward. Well, then to compensate for the voters he's losing from that precinct A, let's call it, he'll have to pick up precinct B in a different area, which some other alderman gives him. So they're wheeling and dealing. It's like a market, and it'll be happening around 2010 or 2011. That'll be the next redistricting because they do it after every census.
But we don't have a say in this. You know, it affects who we get to vote for. For example, where I live, I used to be in the 26th ward, and now I live in the first ward. But I didn't move. Someone, as you just described, went through these machinations to figure out how am I going to eliminate my opponents and how am I going to maximize my ability to be reelected. What interests me is how do we voters have any kind of input into that process?
First of all, Chicagoans don't get a say in anything. I mean, just think about, the Lawndale map. We were just talking about Lawndale and the TIF in Lawndale. That's just the nature of democracy in Chicago, and I use the word ironically. We don't get a say. You only get a say if you yell and scream and rattle the cage and call up Ben and have him write an article. You don't get a say in Chicago. They do what they want to do. So if you're upset because you've been moved from one ward to the other, tough luck. There's no way to remedy that. It's something that the aldermen do as a courtesy to each other to protect incumbency.
Wait, were you just inviting people to call you up and let you know what they think? Their precinct is going to be moved to a different ward?
People do it all the time anyway. Pick and choose which ones I'll write about.
Right, we won't publish your phone number. That'll provide some barrier to entry. They have to find you first.
They have to dig hard.
I think we'll leave it there. That's been a good civics lesson. You do teach journalism class, right?
Investigative journalism, yeah.
You never taught civics, though?
No, I've never taught civics. I just study it every day in the city of Chicago.
Well, you've taught it now. Thanks for that, Ben.
All right.
This is Dave Gloetz. I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. Check back at MrRadio.org for more installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.